Joe Newberry. I love Joe Newberry's music. I've never met Joe, but I feel like I have. He was on the show last fall, a week or so before he was recognized by IBMA for his contributions in songwriting with that great song the Gibson Brothers recorded. They call it Music. And we had a blast. Joe is a great performer, often performs with a compadre, which is the best way to describe his connection with Mike Compton. They seem to be of the same mind, and there's a live album out that I finally have gotten my hands on. I didn't have it last fall with Mike Compton and Joe Newberry, and it's a wonderful live recording of what they do. You can almost feel their friendship and kinship through the album. And interesting, I have Joe on the line now, and I'm going to put him on just right now to let you know what we were just talking about. So hold on. We'll have Joe Newberry here right with us. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Steve.
All right. Now we're back live again. It's funny because
you know, you've got these mobile phones. They go up into space and they come down. How do they know?
How do they know where we are and how to turn us off, but we can't find a plane?
Lord, I am I'm a banter player, and I really shouldn't attempt to even answer that.
Well, Joe, Dana Bourgeois and I had a great conversation, but we got started so late I couldn't get to you right at 3.
Worries. And what a maker. What a luthier.
Oh, yeah. Aren't they amazing? And he's such a nice guy, and he goes through all this detail. And, I mean, we could talk for days about, you know, not giving away trade secrets, which I don't think he cares about because he's perfected them, but... You know, all the stuff that he does and the different little, you know, this wood sounds different than that piece, even though it's the same kind of wood, and you tap it and flex
right.
it. And so we were having a good time. And
I'm not a luthier kind of guy, but I so respect somebody who can blend form and function. And, you know, they're great sounding instruments, but they're also beautiful. They're just beautiful to look at. And that's a powerful thing when you can have all of that in one six-string package.
And they feel good.
Yeah.
You know, you know how it is. You pick up an instrument that you're hoping sounds as good as it feels because some of them just feel, they just feel good.
Yep.
Yeah. How you been, man? Yeah. I haven't talked to you since.
I told somebody yesterday I'm keeping it between the ditches, and then I thought, well, maybe I'm in the groove. Maybe there's a, you know, but so far I'm going straight ahead.
Well, with our phone problems here, we had an opportunity to throw in a couple more cuts from that live album with you and Mike Compton, which I just absolutely love. We were talking about that in between being disconnected a couple times, and that is such a nice... And let's talk a little bit about that live performance feel, that, and we were talking a little bit off the air about what you bring to the stage.
You know, it's funny, Compton played with John Hartford for a long time, and one of the things I think that Mike really... has brought to our performance is, you know, everything happens for a reason. If something happens on stage that doesn't exactly go the way you thought it would, just make it work for you. And that's a very freeing thing. If you can trust that you're going to be able to lay it down pretty good, then when you start playing in that way, real amazing stuff happens, and Compton and I have a pretty good connection as it is, but when you just start playing and letting it out there, you know, I don't want to get all metaphysical.
You can't put words to all those things because there's a lot of feeling, there's a lot of intuition, if you want to use that word, as to what's working, what's not. It helps a lot that I look at you and Mike, and I started the show off, you're more than just, you know, guys who perform in a tandem. You really are compadres, I think, in the way you look at music and what you look to experience.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've learned a lot from playing with him. He's an amazing and very giving player. I think, you know, one of the things about Mike is that everybody who plays with him thinks that, you know, they're playing at their best because he brings that out in the people he plays with. They take a lot of YouTube videos of us, they see these two guys in vests, bald-headed guys in vests with goatees, and they think, well, that's interesting to look at, if nothing else. But, you know, when I watch these videos, I notice that even though we're playing different instruments, our right hands are whacking at the same, you know, they, our right hands look almost alike.
Oh yeah.
When we're playing, you know, and that's a, maybe that's one of the reasons why we play good together, is because we do approach stuff.
You're both sort of locked into that same, what, you know, the song could be fast or slow or whatever, but you're kind of locked into that same rhythm feel as you're playing.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
You know, all the different folks I play with, that's one of the things, you know, I do feel like the folks I play with, they are compadres. You know, they are, that I've played lots of music over the years and played with lots of folks and had a good time, but the ones that I return to do gigs again and again with are the ones who they really do approach it the same way I do. You know, if whether it's the law firm, whether it's me and Craver and Hicks and Watson, or you know, Big Medicine or Jump Studies, or you know, any of the folks I play with. I've as I've become older, I thought, you know, I don't have a lot of time to go searching. I you know, if I find some folks that it works with, I'm going to stick with it.
Go back to them, yeah. And I don't mean to focus just on you and Mike, but Mike was on a couple of weeks ago, and I've just kind of...
Great interview, and
thanks.
I just love to hear him talk about how he approaches music. Like I say, I've learned a lot from playing with him, and he's also great fun to travel with and hang out with.
I got a feeling that you guys have a blast when you're traveling around.
We do. We do, and he's you know, he's interested in a lot of stuff, and I think it shows. And he, I hope that Mike does that next album of Mississippi stuff.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
That's a deep well.
And he has to relearn. That just blew me away. Mike Compton has to relearn an approach to this music that he wants to play from his hometown stuff that he heard. And my first thought was, how could that be possible? But that's his approach to it. Get the real sound, you know.
Yeah,
just amazing stuff. Well, last time we talked to you, you were about a week away from, I guess, being recognized for some songwriting. I think we were about a week or so away from IBMA, and they called.
I remember I was talking out in Berkeley in my own little rainstorm.
You were in a porch on the rain, yeah. So that's fitting.
And I came back to Raleigh. We did a show at with the North Carolina Symphony and Bela Fleck, and then a couple of nights later. The award show, I was lucky enough to get an award with a song from Eric Gibson that he graciously gave me a co-write on. So
they call it music. I played it in the first half hour of the show when we were getting up to our first disconnect with Dana. So they heard that, and they've heard a couple of live cuts from things you do. Now, I was following you, of course I do, on Facebook, and I try to follow the career of people that I like. You've been doing, you mentioned that you've been doing a lot of solo things, and how much you're starting to enjoy the fact that I guess whatever freedom or whatever you're doing, but I like the fact the live appearance to me is just that real connect. And when we talk about the live album with you and Mike, there's that feeling there. But when you're doing a live show by yourself, then there's even a little bit more of a it's you and the audience. You really have to reach out and grab them.
Well, yes. And the thing is, for me, you know, I have been blessed to play with some of the best players I know. And so when you do stuff by yourself, it can be a tad daunting, because you get used to working off of someone else. And so when you're doing it all by yourself, you're actually, the audience is the other member. And I'm not one of those guys that makes people sing along on everything. I'll ask people to sing along once or twice during a show, but it's that energy that you put out and they send back. And, you know, I try and remember Grandpa Jones' dictum, never make people happy twice, once when you start and once when you stop. I try and, you know, leave a little bit of time to visit with folks and try not to leave, you know, sing and play everything I know. But a solo show means that I can just sort of direct things the way I want them to go. And, you know, I've been reciting some cowboy poetry.
Oh, great!
From time to time, I'm a recovering clogger, and the joke is in a 12-step program.
A recovering clogger.
But I haven't brought out the dancing yet. But you never know, I might do that too. Because you know what, when it's your show, you can do whatever you want.
That's the way I look at this show. I can do whatever I want. I can talk to. I did half an hour with Phil Elliott on Capos because I wanted to. You know. And I can talk to whoever I want until they tell me I can't do it anymore. That's the way I look at it. I know you have a website because I've posted bits from it recently, and of course right now you're probably right into the full swing of live appearances and festival things, and you must be a very busy man.
Starting to heat up a little bit, yeah. And I'm the world's worst at updating the website, but I have a new one. JoeNewbery.com is one of those. It's one of those things, a link that I've parked, but the one that's really active right now, and actually was telling an audience the other night, how perfect is this for a website? It's JoeNewbery.me. It's all about me. That's all what a website is. It's all about me.
It's the decade of Joe.
So it's JoeNewbery.me, and folks can go and they can see pictures from my travels, and if I ever get myself in gear, they can see the latest shows and things like that.
You know, you mentioned the fact that people do. There are a lot of YouTubes of you, and not just with Mike, but other people too. How do you feel about that? I mean, of course, in a sense, you know, people are, that's all being posted for nothing. I mean, they're doing, but it seems to me that with as many live performances that as you do, it's really an adjunct to you. It's got to help you. People see it, and then they know who you are, and then your music is more available to him than they wind up, you know, ultimately going to see you live or picking up a CD. So, I mean, I think that, am I right that I think originally YouTube was kind of like, hey, you're stealing my music. I'm not saying you felt that way, but a lot of artists did. But now YouTube is almost a regular funnel into the artist world.
I agree. I think every artist is wondering what's going to go viral. Well, I won't probably have any giggling babies or puppies or things in my videos, but, you know, it is cool.
Have you tried puppies and giggling babies yet?
Well, we could get some giggling babies, sure. That, you know, because that'll get shared everywhere.
That's right. I interrupted. We were talking about videos and YouTube things, and that element of share, and I interrupted you because you talked about puppies and babies, so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that I'm happy for people to share stuff on YouTube, and, you know, if you're going to do something live, my job is to not tank, where it's not good enough for people to share. So if I'm doing my job, then whatever I do, people can post, and it actually kind of keeps you on your toes that you want to always do your best. Now there's a couple of places that folks will ask, is it okay? They'll say I won't post unless you give the okay, and I usually just say, of course.
Sure. Yeah. You know, you make an interesting point, because I would say even 5 or 10 years ago, which is a million years in the electronic age, but
right.
Probably there weren't, you know, a lot of people do these on their phones. They don't have to have cameras. So you're right in the sense that you have to now expect every time you appear live, it's going to show up somewhere.
Somewhere. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That's
so.
Right. And I think it leads to having a pretty good show, because, you know, you're right. Somebody's holding the phone up somewhere. There was a real interesting thing that I saw when Pope Benedict was elected, and then as opposed to when John Paul II was elected, they had a picture of Vatican Square,
mm-hmm.
And when John Paul, they made the announcement, people were massed in the Vatican Square. But it was just people. When Benedict, a few years ago, was named Pope, you saw everybody holding their cell phones up.
Exactly.
It was amazing to think of the impact of these little computers that have more computing power than the Apollo 11 computers that went to the moon.
Right. You're right.
So,
you're right.
Yeah, but I see it as a way for musicians to tell their story, and any time I'm in a show and I see people taking it, you know, they send me a link so I can see it too.
Exactly, that's the point, that people do it. I mean, I think there was some resistance. People used to say no filming, no video, and you know, but that was a long time ago. But now it's like you say, show me where you post it so I can get access to it and send other people there. Now, not that you would ever go in and not give it your best, but now you know that everything you do is probably going to be videoed and being shown somewhere.
It's true. I'm attempting to be my smartest and most charming right now because I know I know that people are listening. Hey, everybody.
Yeah, Joe, listen, I always enjoy having you on, and I was thrilled to find time to get you back on, because I know you're about to start into some real busy stuff, and I thought, well, let's, you know, what the heck is Joe doing, and we haven't talked in a while, and I'm always happy, and then having Mike on a month or so ago, I thought, well, I should probably touch with Joe again, and
well, I'm tickled that you did.
Man, it's great. It's great music, and Joe Newberry shows up, and just good things happen on this show and wherever he is on the stage with all the music that he has available, and that loving feeling that you have for your craft. I just think it shows so much.
Well, thank you very much. I'm a lucky guy, and you know, I'm going to start in the next month or so. We'll be starting some shows up with Craver Hicks, Watson, and Newberry. We'll be up in Virginia doing some stuff. I've got a couple more solo shows, and then in June, this is pretty fun. Prairie Home is going to do a live broadcast from the Fox Theater in St. Louis, and you know, I'm from Missouri originally, and they asked me to go play that Missouri show, and so I've got a bunch of relatives coming up from the Ozarks, which is very cool. And then a couple of weeks later, I'm very honored. It's Garrison Keillor's 40th anniversary on July 6th. He started Prairie Home Companion July 6th, 1974, and they're doing a three-day festival and live broadcast around the 40th anniversary, and they've asked me to come be part of that.
Oh, well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had a little scribble some there to make sure I talk about you've become sort of a regular, to the extent that anyone is, on Prairie Home Companion. But Garrison Keillor and Prairie Home Companion, that's what Joe's talking about, that has to be a great feeling to be thought of that highly by someone who's been doing that really cool show, Garrison Keillor, for 40 years, that you're coming back to.
It's
that
one that's one of the honors of my life.
Isn't that
and
cool?
I likened it. Somebody asked me what it's like, and I said it's a lot like, for a traditional musician, it's a lot like if a comedian got invited over to the couch by Johnny Carson.
Mm.
It feels much the same way. The other thing about Prairie Home Companion is that it doesn't matter if you're talking about the stage crew, the all-star shoe band, the actors, Garrison himself. Everybody is working at the highest level. I mean, they're really good at what they do, and it's inspiring, actually. It's inspiring to watch how they put that show together, and how they are just the best at what they do. And so that leads me to want to be the best that I can be there.
And they do it with all that preparation, but it all seems so natural and so fluid. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, you know, they start really putting the show together, and you go into rehearsal on Friday, and Garrison's still writing on the show and tweaking and touching up, and then they'll do more tweaks on Saturday at the rehearsal. They've been doing it a long time. They know what will work and what won't work, and they if something, they put something in and it's not working, they take it out and you do something else. And it's, I'll tell you, as a musician, it's really, it's scary and freeing all at the same time, because you can't be wedded to something, because it might be a great song, but it might not work for their purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to turn on a dime and do something different is it's good practice.
And it's timely that we're talking about Garrison and the work you do right after talking to Dana Bourgeois about how he's constantly looking and changing, and nothing is ever set, and everything changes every day. And those people that really love what they're doing, like you do and like Garrison, I think that's a common thread. They're always reinventing and refining and refining and refining, two separate words, what they're doing so that it comes up the best. And they're not afraid to not, you aren't, Garrison's not afraid, Dana can't. They're not afraid to say.
Well, Dana's world, any luthier will tell you that whatever wood comes through is it's each piece of wood is different, and to maintain, I mean, I so admire Dana for maintaining that quality level when all of the parameters change every time
everything
he goes into the shop?
Yeah, with the weather.
Amazing.
With the weather.
Yeah.
You know, unless he's in a vacuum, the weather changes everything. Now, he was talking a little bit. I know you didn't have a chance to listen, that he has a process where he's kind of, I wouldn't say cooking it, but he's trying to artificially age the wood to get some of those resins out so that it kind of sounds like it's been out there. Yeah, it's kind of neat stuff. So Dana, who learned, you know, back in the 70s because he had a guitar, he keeps advancing forward. And it's like you're saying with your shows, you may be clogging soon again because it just might fit what you're doing, but you just can't, you can't stand pat. But here's the thing, too. You and Dana and Garrison Keillor, they all have smiles in their voices. I've not talked to Garrison. I've seen him do it. But you seem to enjoy so much that you don't mind having to make those modifications and changes as you go.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when you find somebody that has vision, that's a great thing. And the thing about Garrison is he has been doing this a long time, and he knows the sound that he wants to get. He knows the feel of the show. And also the guests that he has on, that's always inspiring. You know, I look at the guest list of the folks on the 40th, and it's like, really, really, I'm gonna go be playing that? Really? Alrighty then. So I'm just, for a little hillbilly from Missouri to go and play that is pretty cool.
Well, listen, you got time to, if they have any dance numbers, you got time to brush up on your clogging a little bit.
Well, you know, I guess I would have to do percussive dance for the radio so they would be able
to hear it. Well, Joe, listen, I'm thrilled for you, man. I can't think of a better person to be involved with Garrison at that special event, because I just think you fit right into that so well with the love that comes through. I mean, you're so good at what you do, and people recognize it. I can't tell you how many people have contacted me every time I mention that Joe's going to be on the show. It's like there's swarms of people that not always the same ones, just say, oh, this is great. They love to hear from you and love your music and what you're doing.
Well, wonderful. You know, the social media and radio shows that can now stream online, it's amazing. It's a wonderful community, and it's almost like living in a small town for social media. It's like, you know, I grew up in a little town in Missouri, and it's like, you know, you can't get away with nothing. You know, your mother's going to know by the time you get home. Your mother's going to know. So Facebook has been really, really good to connect with folks. For me, in music, and before that, MySpace. You know, I got some gigs in England out of MySpace.
Did you really?
Yeah. It was so, you know, just being open to folks finding you, and you know,
I was told years ago, and I was not on MySpace since you mentioned that, but someone told me Facebook is the place to go. But all the musicians were leaving. Were you ever part of those list servers, the bluegrass list and all those things?
Oh, yeah, I was more alert. I would lurk
more too. Than anything else. I didn't want to get in arguments with people. Just, I didn't want to do that for fun. I argue too much during my job as a lawyer. So.
Well, there you go. I'll tell you, you know, the thing, if you want to know if I have any philosophy about music, it is that if you think you can play good, you're going to turn the corner and find somebody who can play twice as good.
Boy, you're right.
And the same thing with those listeners. If you think that you're smart and you can argue, you're going to find somebody that will dust you.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, we don't need to, you know, that's the one thing that I see folks doing on social media, is that little bit of anonymity makes people very brave, and they say things that you'd never say in face-to-face or in real life. And,
no.
And so, you know, I'm okay with curating whatever I do and saying, no, not here. Mm-mm. You can talk that smack anywhere else, but not here.
You know, and Joe, I don't have the energy to be that antagonistic anymore. I just don't. In my spare time, I don't want to be that antagonistic about things. That's not what I'm doing it for. It's not what I do this for. Everyone that comes on this show, I'm not cross-examining people, when you know, which is a skill that I use during the week. But I'm just curious about things, and I want to know what people think. And the reason I do this is because I want to talk to Joe Newberry about Joe. I don't want to. Isn't it true? Yeah, this doesn't interest me. I'm not that antagonistic about anything in life. And you know, To me, it's just fun. But it's just fun to
it's
do.
It's just fun. Yeah. Well, you know, and I've said this before, but it's true, and your listeners know this. You're one of the best interviewers out there,
man.
And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
And just hush so I can compliment you.
I don't like this, you know.
You are never just reading off of a list of questions and just, you're never waiting to just ask the next question. What you're doing is you're listening and it's a conversation. And I've got to tell you, that's a great thing to be able to talk to somebody who is just having a conversation and not just checking off the questions as they go down the list.
Well, Joe, I appreciate that. I have nothing written down when I do these, just so you know. I just can't.
I'll tell you what. That's living on the edge, my friend.
It will surely keep
you clean.
You will know when I run out of things to say because there will be a huge gap, and it won't be because somebody's
phone.
Well,
fortunately, you have a library full of music, Ted. If you ever lag, you can just go ahead and play. Hey, are you coming to IBMA?
I haven't pulled the trigger on that yet. I think my schedule is open, and I'm still kind of, I know I won't be able to stay there because everything's gone, but I'm giving serious thought to it this year. I didn't make the trip to Raleigh last year because it just moved too far away from me, but it's still on my radar screen.
Well, Raleigh did themselves proud. You know, I live in Raleigh, and so
to see
the job that they did welcoming IBMA and to see the vibrant way that IBMA is really approaching what they do, and it's great. And so if you can make it, we'd love to see you.
I hope to. You know,
I actually screwed up my courage and applied for a showcase, and Compton and I got a showcase.
Oh, well, that'd be great. That's the thing. And showcases, just so people know that they aren't used to it, there's a main stage, but showcases are like a special thing for great artists that it's a smaller venue, but they're great. I used to go every year, and I would hunt for the showcase people that were going to have special events and stuff, because that's usually the people that I wanted to see. The other ones I had seen, not that they're not great, but the ones in the showcase things, I would go see Mike Compton and Joe Newberry in a heartbeat if I'm there.
Well, we hope that you come just so we can hang out some. That would be the best.
I will let you know if I make it. It's on my radar, and if I can make it down there, I'll give you a holler for sure, man. And listen, and don't be a stranger. Anytime you want to chat about stuff, you're always welcome, and we'll make sure we get the phone straightened out. And I know last time you were on a porch in the rain. This time Dana was in a car in the rain, but now you're dry. Now you're high and dry somewhere. So we're making
sure. Well, you know, one more thing like that, and we'll have to write a song about it.
That's right. Write me a song called Pick Peace. Give it a thought. Pick Peace, not pick for peace, not picking peace. When we talked about the antagonism, I don't have time in my life to be angry all the time, and I want people to realize that choosing that peaceful alternative. I'm not talking about global issues, all right? I'm just talking day to day.
Day to day, it's true.
Peace,
you know,
is
Dalai
an option.
Lama says, Dalai Lama says that be kind whenever possible. It is always possible.
Yeah.
And Dolly Parton says, "I will always love you." So.
Oh, you got me. You pulled me. You got me on that one. All right. It's not going to get any better than that. You totally reeled me in, and that was beautiful. That was very good job. Well done.
Thank you so much.
All right, Joe. Yeah, man.
Listen,
go.
You take good care and have a good rest of the show.
You too, bud. Thanks. I'll talk to you later for sure.
All right, man.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Joe wins on that one. From Dalai Lama to Dolly Parton. And I was like, hooked in the jaw going all the way. That was fun. There, Joe Newberry. I apologize to him for being late. Sometimes it happens. It's all live. Just like he says, you just roll with it.